Welcome to Go Simcha, the podcast that takes you on an in-depth approach to the Jewish music, entertainment, and Simcha world. Now, here's your host, Zisha Littman.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. We had so much fun recording the episode, but it couldn't have been done without the help of our sponsor, Karen Simchas Chasson Vekalis. We're going to take a minute to hear a little bit more about them. The following episode of Go Simcha the Podcast is proudly sponsored by Karen Simchas Chasson Vekala. Karen Simchas Chasson Vekala was founded over 25 years ago and is based in Brooklyn, New York. KSCVK helps widows, orphans, and people who are in dire need of marrying off a child. Working through their network of vendors, KSCVK ensures that every wedding is just as special as the next. Run by world-renowned party planner Devorah Benjamin, KSCVK takes care that each wedding is as elegant as the next one, ensuring dignity and class through every wedding that they put on. To donate to KSCVK, please visit their website, kscvk.org, today. That's kscvk.org, and help make someone's wedding special. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. This is a very exciting moment here today in our studios. We're going to be bringing you behind the scenes of the Jewish music and entertainment world. And what better way to start off this awesome show with a very special guest who is been around in the Jewish music world and on the scene since about 2007, has nearly 10 albums out and just released a new one, which is very highly anticipated. I've actually been listening to it all day because I've become a very big fan of him overnight. And actually, the truth is I've heard some of his recordings in the past. Didn't even realize it. So today I'd like to welcome a very special guest to our show, Shlomi Gertner, coming all the way from Stamford Hill, London.
Wow. First of all, we've got a sunny day here. And after an introduction like that, what a beautiful day.
Oh, Hashem.
That is fantastic.
That's funny. It's sunny over there in England.
Yeah, you should know the English weather, the climate here changed a lot. It's changed a lot with my music as well. The music got better. The weather has got better. Everything. It's all going in the right direction.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Shlomi, seriously, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. It's funny, I was doing some of my research into you, and I see that you have near about close to like 10 albums out. And it's funny, the first album that you have out there, the Nisim, that was one of the first Jewish records I ever heard. A friend of mine, one of my close friends, when I was like 5 or 6, he's like, here, listen to these tapes. One of them was Yidel. Another one was Yeshiva Boys Choir, and the third one was yours. And I actually had your CD on my iPod forever, and I kept listening to it. And one of my favorite songs was Schmeichel. And I never really realized, like, who this guy was. But you had some cool songs over there, and I was just like, wow, this is really cool. And then I was doing my research, digging a little bit deeper into you to understand who you are and learn more about you. And I was like, no way. This guy wrote Schmeichel.
Wow, that is so interesting. You should know, I think up to date, that Nissen project, I think the CD came out in 2007.
Yeah.
It's probably my best album up to date. I've done a lot of good music since and a lot of fresh music, a lot of different things. But there's something about that first CD. I'll give you an example. Last night, I was awake at 4 a.m. looking after my daughter. Oh. And actually, she's got a song on the album, My Daughter Malka.
Right.
So I was playing all different types of music. When I played the Nissim album, that's when she was like the calmest and just loved that CD. And I listened to it again. I listened to the singing, the arrangement, the first song Nissim, then the Malka song, then the Schmeichel and Imen Anili.
Yeah.
The combination, how one song complements each other, yet they're so different. That is, it's something I didn't know a lot about music at the time, meaning it was very fresh. Yossi Tiberg, Gershi Moskowitz, we were working on this project as a team, and the production was on a level that was beautiful, and the songs and the Siyata Lishmaya, what I'm trying to say is that we didn't do much to achieve what we achieved. I mean, we worked harder on different projects and didn't achieve that high level, but on that one, I must say, you know, I listened to it yesterday. You're mentioning a CD that is so fresh to me from just listening to it a few hours ago.
That's so funny.
I was like, wow, what a blessing to have something like that under your belt.
No, it's seriously, it's amazing. So let's go back a couple of years to about 2007. Let's go back to, well, even before that. What's your story? What's your deal? Like, how talk to us. Tell our listeners, who is Shlomi Gertner? Where do you come from? What are you all about? And how did you get into music?
So you could ask, you could say, where did you come from? Where did you go, right?
Where did you come from?
He's coming from using, and it's Go Simcha, Go, Go Simcha. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
I started off music. My start in music is really from just enjoying choirs and enjoying music, singing along with all these CDs that are coming out, whether it was Pirkei London, the London School of Jewish Music under Yigal Salik, Miami Music,
nice,
Visionist Songs, MBD, Fried, Karlebach, you know, the music that was always on the big stage in our circle.
Right.
And when I was in the yeshiva years, I bumped into friends that were going to studio recording with the greatest arrangers like Mona Rosenblum, Moshe Laufer, and all these different arrangers. And I started seeing how the music business is run, how they record the rhythm section, how music behind the scenes, you're watching the songs come in and how they develop and how everything's happening with the choir, sure, with the mixing. And then you see the CD on the shelf and you say, hey, I remember this, I remember that. And you realize that it's something you enjoy doing and it's a blessing to be involved in an industry like that. And I would say that's where I picked up the willpower to want to continue doing this industry. And that's how, yeah. And then I started singing at weddings and at all different type of events. And right, every time I would be asked to come and sing at a simcha, at a friend, I would say, wow, you're actually asking me to come to sing here. That's so beautiful. And slowly, you know, it creeps into your mind, maybe you should do a CD yourself. And Baruch Hashem, it happens. And it's still happening.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. No, I totally get you. I totally get where you're coming from. I happen to be a musician myself. I play drums, guitar, saxophone, keyboard, and a few other wind instruments as well. And
you're pretty talented.
Yeah. I mean, it's all relative.
I've been trying piano lessons and guitar for a long time, and I can't say that I've reached any level on these instruments. And I do play a couple of chords here and there. But to be able to, basically every instrument you touch, you manage to work it out.
Well, it's like you said, the music just kind of flows with you. And with me, that's how it happened. I taught myself how to play guitar. I taught myself how to play the drums. I taught myself how to play most of these instruments. And it's just exactly what you said, is that the music just flows with you and you're able to pick up the rhythms. You're able to listen to the rhythms, understand what's going on, and it really gets embodied within you. And so that's what I was going to say to you regarding your albums. It seems like you have a number of different albums out there, and we were just talking about Nisim. So tell us about Nisim. It seems like that was your first album. How did that all come to be? Because you said that you started out, you were just hanging out, learning a few different things. You stumbled upon into the business. And so how did that first album come to be?
I'd really have to put on my thinking cap for that, because it's been a while back.
But, that's okay.
I think perhaps start with the latest album.
Okay. You know, I mean, well, you remember the latest album.
I'm thinking my latest album, which is just a couple of weeks old, which right, is called Serenity.
Oh yeah, I've been listening to that.
So this album was to achieve an album like that. For me was a very special thing. It was a very very personal, because I had over the years I've been writing little English songs here, English songs there, because right, I feel to express a song in the lyrics of English is very chashuv. People connect to it and it talks to people, so I always wanted to do that. And the album before this one was Mincha.
Right.
Now I felt when calling an album by the name of Mincha, and there are people who want, they want something else in the album rather than a bunch of English songs. So I actually, the last minute, pulled off a couple of songs and I said, you know, it's time to do a full English project.
Nice.
And that's when the idea of Serenity was born. And now that I'm looking back, in hindsight, it was a Siyata Deshmaya that I pulled off those songs and created this album, because the feedback is mamish, it's enormous. There was a little risk, I would say, to do this album in terms of sales, in terms of
sure,
financial. If I wanted to do a financial cashbowing, that wouldn't be the right, that wouldn't be the biggest well, business.
Well, it's interesting that you decided to do a full English album, because I know that a lot of the times when people go out there and try to put out an English album, it doesn't necessarily sound good. Like, I've heard a number of different guys come out there and put out English albums, and they sound very, I don't know the word to say for it, but it doesn't sound like Emmis. Like, I was listening to your album. It sounds very like put together and very, with the Hebrew, it sounds
exactly what you're describing is exactly what this album is.
Right.
It's not based. It's not similar to anything. It's something very fresh, something that is from the heart, created. We went into studio, jamming sessions with musicians, writing lyrics, you know, really sweating over the music till actually we saw the fruits of it. It took so many other songs and then perfecting the lyrics. I tell you, for me working on it, it's still not perfected to the highest level. There's still so much I want to do on it, but it was time to finish the album and to release it. But these messages from these songs are so, it's not similar to anything else that you could say, okay, I don't understand. We've heard this already. It's got a lot of fresh sound, fresh lyrics, fresh ideas, fresh messages. So what you're describing is exactly the feedback that I'm getting from the wider audience. And it's a massive siyata lishmaya, Baruch Hashem.
No, for sure. I mean, I've been listening to some of your music lately just to get a better idea and better feel of what type of musician you are, what type of artist you are. And your that one song you have on the new album, Hands in the Air, it's an awesome song. And I have to say, I'm not such a fan of the English songs that a lot of these guys put out, but that song has been stuck in my head for about a week. And every time I sit down at my desk,
you just want to go with it.
Yeah, for real. Every time I sit down at my desk, I have a number of different songs I put on to get me pumped up, ready to go to work, and that's one of them. And people walk by my office, they're like, why is this guy dancing? Why is this guy just sitting there dancing in his chair? I got my big headphones on, and I'm sitting there dancing, and your song is actually on my playlist. And I have to say,
that's beautiful.
No, it's a good song. What went into that song? Like, tell our listeners, like, when you're sitting down and you're going in there and you're creating a song such as like Hands in the Air, like, what goes into creating a hit like that? What do you guys do? What's the process and what's involved in creating a song like that? Cause you said you went in there and you worked and you toiled and you with blood, sweat and tears,
So this particular song is a Yitzi Waldner creation.
Oh yeah, he's on our lineup too.
Aha. Uh-huh. You should get him involved because his neshama just, you know, he just sings in his sleep, Yitzi Waldner. He's just one of these composers that is just, he's got music pouring over him. So when we were just having this, writing all different, could you see yourself sometimes walking in the street and just humming a tune to yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, I wish I recorded that.
Yeah.
So with this song, we were lucky it was recorded at a time of inspiration. And the words that were mumbled at the time was just da 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 da, hands in the air, da, going somewhere. So we didn't have nothing. We just had the idea this song is going to be called Hands in the Air. Because those were the words we were hearing on the tune.
That's really funny. Then we
spoke to the lyricist, to Miriam Israeli in Yerushalayim, who is one of the greatest lyricists in our time. And she just took the song. She just, okay, what else do you want in the song? What do you want to talk? Do you want to talk about the times now, positive, happier, like what mode do you want to see in the song? And that's how she wrote all the rest of the words.
That's
and
amazing.
And then we did a beautiful music video, which just enhanced the song so much.
I was going to ask you about that. That music video, it looks like you're having a little fun there, going skiing down the mountains. What's the organization that you're repping on the jacket over there?
It's called Kef. Kef in Hebrew is fun. Now, this organization, three or four weeks in a year, they take the kids, special needs kids, out on a camp. And also every weekend, some days they have Sunday school as well for these children. Now, and that's exactly what they do. They're giving fun for the kids and giving the parents a break of not looking after the kids, not being so busy with the children in holiday time, so they could focus going out with the rest of the family. So the work they do is phenomenal work. And to have this awareness and to raise funds, they always do a marathon, like a bike-a-thon, where they have about 200 riders riding and raising money. And this year, so they approached me if I've got any idea of how we could enhance this evening with a good song and a good music video. Mm-hmm. So when I thought of this song straight away, because it's got "Hey everybody, come along for the ride." So it's, "Hey everybody, come along for the ride. Hey, are you really gonna stay inside? Hey, put your hands in the air, yeah."
Look at that, we get a free concert.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic for concerts. I haven't sung it at concerts yet, because it's only been out for 3-4 weeks. So it'll take time till it goes into the system.
Fair enough.
But so we did this music video, and all I could say is it was in conjunction with KESS, and they said it really pays off, because the funds they raised this year was beyond expectations, and the feedback from this song, and it shows how the social media of a music video, how powerful it is in this day and age.
For sure.
To bring out awareness. It was really the best thing I ever did on this song.
Oh, Hashem. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. That's my next question for you. Is that it seems that music, especially in the Jewish world, is constantly changing. Like, there's so many different styles coming out from, like, we started from the Nigunim, and now look, we're up to like different poppy songs and things like that, such as Hands in the Air. Like, what do you think of all that? What do you think? I mean, it seems from a lot of the songs I've listened to of yours from your first album up until now, it seems like you have been dealing and delving into a lot of Nigunim and things like that. And now you're switching over into this type of model, like this type of genre. What do you think about all that? Like the changing of the times and of music. Like, what do you think of all that, especially in the Jewish world?
Look, it's definitely changing. There's no doubt, but it doesn't take away from the Messiah, from our old songs or old beautiful vision of Tenegunim. In a sense, you know, I find my musical mind very much on shuffling all the time. I could shuffle from any different song, different reggae.
Yeah.
And I'll be connected to the music, meaning I don't see that, hey, if you did Hands in the Air, you can't sing a beautiful Sklenet song like, for example, you know, Yivoda Bagoyim, Yivoda
Bagoyim,
or a beautiful Chabad song like Tomo Lecho Nahashi. Yes, everything has its different mode. And we see when the Yidden went over the Shira, by the Yom Tov, it says they were on the highest level. What they saw, even a shivcha saw what great generations didn't see. And the Mefarshim say that it was all because they were singing. It was Oz Yosher Moshe, that the power of music, the power of songs that makes you happy, that's what counts. And when the nation, as children of Hashem, everyone's happy, Hashem is happy with us. And that's how it works. Kamayim ponim el ponim, heart to heart. And that's really the punchline. It's us being happy, singing, and in different modes. By chuppah, we sing more serious songs. On the dance floor, it's a little different rhythm. And so, there's so many different modes of different music. But the achievement of all songs is one, it's one goal. And Baruch Hashem, it's great to be part of achieving that goal.
Oh, Hashem, that's amazing. Shlomi, that's really amazing. The other thing I was going to ask you about regarding the music video, it's funny, like how you see a lot, you and a lot of other artists, they're putting out these different music videos, but at the same time, like everyone's saying, oh, we shouldn't be watching videos, we shouldn't be on the internet, we shouldn't be doing this, that, and the other. So how do you combat that when people are, when you have one side of things saying, no, we shouldn't be watching videos, shouldn't be on the internet, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, your music videos, exactly what you just said, like your songs, your music videos can have tremendous hashpah on people and do so much good for people when they watch them or they engage with them. Like, how do you tackle that in your profession, in this industry?
Look, there's a high percentage in this generation that do watch music videos. So we have to cater for them. So, and you'll see there's many singers that are not going to do any music videos, because probably by personality, they wouldn't be watching music videos. So they're not going to deliver it for the people who do. But somebody like myself, I enjoy seeing a good music video. and it's really, it's an inspiration. So I feel on the contrary, that's the way forward. If you look, for instance, in Chabad, yeah, you see mm-hmm. every move of the Rebbe, everything's recorded on video. Now you've got a new generation in Chabad who've never seen the Rebbe. They've never seen the Rebbe, but they live the Rebbe. How did they live the Rebbe? If you think of it, how clever it was that the Rebbe allowed every move of this to be videoed. And mm-hmm. I see the same thing in the world. I'm a vision of the Chassid, yeah? And I see how the Chassidim, you're also?
I'm of a division of Vizhnitz. My Rebbe is the Chassid Vizhnitz Rebbe, based wow. in Beit Shemesh. His it's actually the Yorit site this Shabbos of his late father-in-law, the Sarator.
Oh, wow. Good choice. Good choice. So I see in the vision of the world as well, when we see pictures of the Havas Yisrael, these beautiful pictures, historic pictures, everyone is so inspired. But right these days, when somebody comes with a camera in front of the Rebbe, the Hasidim will try and shoo him away. They don't realize sometimes the value of how excited they are to see the great-grandfather of this Rebbe. If somebody had shooed them away at the time, they wouldn't have a vision to know what the Rebbe looks like.
100%.
So we can't say there's something wrong with music videos. We can't say there's something wrong with pictures. We all know that everything has to be used in the right way, and everyone has to respect whatever anyone else feels and his way in Avodas Hashem. So I feel it's the right thing, and that's the social media is very powerful today. We can't run away from it. We have to face it head on. And just put your hands in the air and sing and dance.
There you go. It's funny on your website, it says that you have been deemed the Hasidic Robbie Williams by the Telegraph. What did you think about that when that came out?
I have to ask Robbie Williams. It's one of those classic lines.
Right.
I don't really know what to do with it.
It's just something nice to say, but you're definitely a very entertaining fella. What on your new album? So let's talk about your new album, because again, I think it's really awesome that you came out with this English album, Serenity, and it's all these songs that are a compilation of like Simcha and joy and serenity. What went into making that title? Like when it came down to coming up with the name for the album, when it came to putting together the songs and compiling the songs, like what went into that, and why did you ultimately call it Serenity?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it was backwards and forwards for a while. I had all these different names. For a while, it was going to be called Bubbles. I was going to call something like, because there's a good song there, Bubble, of which describes the galaxy of this world. Everyone has his bubble. Also, a beautiful message. Which is a song that I wrote together with Yitzhak Waldner. Then there were various other names. And then ultimately the decision was for Serenity, because Shabbos is really, we all live around Shabbos.
Right.
And the beauty of Shabbos is, as technology moves on, we feel the serene of Shabbos, the serenity. You know, when we say Me'ein Olam Haba, that Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba, it's a taste of eternity. That's what Shabbos is. I felt there's so much meaning in that word serenity. I said the name is good, the message is nice, the song is good, everything could just fell into place. After Shabbat UK, they do the Shabbos in the world.
The Shabbos project.
The Shabbos project. After that, I realized that there's something very deep over here, and I think serenity could tribute to that, and it could create a Kiddush Hashem, and that was the reason behind the name.
Wow, that's very deep. And yeah, your album cover too is very, it reflects upon the name too. I like the album cover. The way the art was designed, it really reflects on the name, Serenity.
I must say, when the album cover came in, my wife told me, finally there's a cover that I like. My album.
Wow.
I said, this one's for you then.
Wow. Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. When you're creating the whole album, when you're creating this album or in any of your albums in general, like what was one of your favorite songs that you ever put together, that you ever recorded?
Wow, that's a tough question. I don't think there is an answer for that.
Why you
I don't
like
think
them
they exist because it's not that I like them all or dislike it. Everything is a different. There's songs that I invested more time that perhaps I'm more connected to than others. Sometimes you have a song that you put on an album just because you've been advised so by a few friends. They say, hey, just, you know, you may not be connected to that song. It's a good song. Use it.
Right.
But in general, it's just it's all different modes. You know, there's going to be all different modes. On this album, if you ask me a particular song that I enjoyed more than others, mm-hmm. I would say the Bubble song was a lot of fun. And the other song would be the Two-Way Street.
What's the Two-Way Street? I didn't make it up to that one. But what's the Two-Way Street?
Yeah, Two-Way Street, talking about when you do a good deed, that a good deed is like a two-way street because it's like Venoknu, it goes both ways. You help a friend and you get help back. So I say the message is a good deed is a two-way street. So it's a very jolly song, like, it's a jolly song with a good message. So it was, you know, when you fall into these rhythms in studio with musicians and you're jamming, right. There's electricity in the studio, and it's interesting that a lot of the vocals on this album are mm-hmm. actually guide vocals, because what happens usually is an album, you do a guide vocal with a musician, and then you go back when you feel you're in voice and you're ready for vocals, you go back and redo them. On this album, I kept most of the original vocals because there was something electricity in the studio that was happening during the writing of the sessions of these songs. So we tried to keep that, and it should come across as more original, more meaningful, and so that song was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Listen, if you're having fun doing what you do, making people happy and producing awesome music, then that's it. You're good. You're good to go.
Yeah. Do you have a song yet for Go Simcha? You need to create a little jingle, something. Go Simcha.
So it's actually funny. It was one morning when I woke up, I was taking care of my kids, getting them ready to go to Ghana. So I put on the radio, and actually it's funny, I listen to Zed Radio, not just because we work together and produce the show, but I like what's really puts on there. And one of Michal Przanski's songs came on, Beau Ricotte. I don't know if you've heard of it. But he has a line in that song. It says, it's time for joy. It's time for Simcha. So I was like, oh my gosh, wow. I got to get this guy's phone number, call him and ask him if I can use the song. So I sent Cerulli a WhatsApp, a message. And I said, Cerulli, you got to get me Przanski's phone number. And he said, okay, here you go. So I sent him a message. I said, hi, I just listened to your song, Beau Ricotte. It's awesome. And I want to get you on my show. And I want to know if I could use your song for my, as the theme song for our website. And he's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And so that is actually the intro music to our podcast and the outro music to our podcast, because it just spoke to me. It's like, it's time for joy. It's time for Simcha. I was like, wow.
Oh, wow.
I was like, Minishamayim.
Very clever.
Yeah, Minishamayim.
You should also create a jingle probably directly at your...
I should,
because it's very special what you're doing, and you should.
I definitely should. If you know any good musicians out there who'd want to create a jingle for me, you know what I mean.
It has to be in a live session with musicians created there and then, and to bring over the rather than going to studio creating this whole writing session, and you know, go to a composer. You have to be there, and you know your website best.
For sure.
The podcast, and bring it up like that.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you another quick question. Well, not really quick, but I remember seeing on one of your album, on your first album, Back to Nisim, there was a song that you said you wrote about your daughter. One of the songs you said was written about your daughter. And what's the story behind that? What's the story behind that? Why did you decide to go ahead and write a song about one of your children?
Okay, so she was, this is my daughter Malka, she's my second daughter. When she was born, a few days after she was born, I was told that she's got disabilities.
Okay.
And as a little child, you know, we're told that she's got disabilities, but we didn't know exactly to what degree, what level it is. And when she was 2 years old, and actually, you know, as she was growing, we saw the disabilities coming out. And we saw her reaction through music. And one day I was just singing, she was crying away, and I was singing the words. I was just saying, Malka, ooh, Malka, Malka, Malka. And she instantly, she was quiet, and she was like, and I felt, wow, there's a connection there. And as I'm singing that, my wife comes running in from the other room. She says, I hope you recorded what you just sang, because that was beautiful, and look at the reaction. And that, and the rest, when I sat with Yossi Green working on my Nissim album, he asked me, tell me something about yourself. So I told him the story, and he was like, wow. He asked me, do you give me permission to continue the song? I said, by all means, if you could make something out of it proper. And he did that.
Wow.
And it's just what that song created, what a buzz, the messages, the chizuk that it gave so many people around the world.
That's very deep.
It's just a matana that I received from Hashem, and it's so nice that a girl with such disabilities has her own song. So that is the most beautiful thing. It's her song. She knows it's hers. Wherever she goes, people sing it, and she just knows this is for her.
That's so deep. That's so amazing. And the fact that you said that she like connects to music, and that it really speaks to her. Like you said before, when we first, in the beginning of the interview, that you were up with her last night at 4 a.m. and you were singing, and she was just very calm and very collective about it. That's really special. Really, really special. And
it's a matona to have a song like that, to be able to actually put on a CD. And suddenly her song comes up. It's just phenomenal. That's why, you know, music ages. You know, this is the old song. For me, that song, it's like talking about my Serenity album, which is only 3 weeks old. For me, it's got that kashivot, that it means that much to me.
Wow.
It's not like old music. It's gone. It's in the past. You know, it's for me, it's there. It's there every day, because she's 16 these days, Baruch Hashem, and she's, you know, the challenges are there. And the strength is there every day from fresh. We say Hanoitzen la Yoes Koyach, and we get Koyach every day from fresh. Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. That's amazing. So let me ask you. It seems like you've been working with a lot of big names. A lot of people have worked with you over the past several years to help produce some of your albums and to work with you on the albums. What's one of the most memorable experiences you've had with one of these guys? Because see, like, you've worked with Yossi Green, Pinky Weber, Lipa, Ellie Laufer, and all these big names. And so it seems like you definitely have worked with funny cast of characters. I know Yossi Green. I spoke to Yossi Green last week, and he's just hilarious. He's very, very, he's very stark and very funny at the same time. But like, what's like a very memorable experience you had with some of these guys? You can tell our listeners.
I would say with Yossi Green is from character wise, he's the most interesting character to work with, because his knowledge and his characters, diverse characters, just the most amazing one to work with, which is every time I work with him, I'm like, wow, what an honor. What an honor to actually have these writing sessions with you. I would say the next thing would be the Mincha project with Mona Rosenblum, because on that album, I worked with everyone like Yossi Green and all top composers. But what stood out to me a lot was the working with Amiran Devir and Yonatan Razel, which was the biggest song for me on that album. Hayom Tam Tseinu, a chuppah song.
Nice.
It turned into a chuppah song because it's appropriate for a chuppah. And so that was huge, I would say. That was very chashev for me.
That's very funny. Yeah, Amiran Devir, he's becoming bigger. I mean, one of his songs has been going around, at least one of his videos, the Despizalto song, I've noticed, has been going around YouTube a lot.
Yeah.
That's also part of my pumping up fun playlist.
If you go to a wedding where Amiran Devir is doing the music, you'll understand why he's just getting bigger and bigger. He's just the most amazing wedding band you could have at a wedding.
He seems like just he seems like he's very like Lebedick.
He knows, he understands the crowd, he reads the crowd well, and he knows his tachlis. He's there not to give a show, but to be Mesameach Chochem Kala. It's their big day of their life.
Right.
he delivers every time from Fresh. He's phenomenal.
Do you do a lot of weddings yourself? Do you get booked a lot of weddings yourself? Yeah. Mainly in the UK? Yeah, yeah.
Mainly UK, but I end up hopping over to the States, to Israel and Europe in general quite a lot.
You're big. That's very cool. That's very, very cool. So we've talked about your album. We've talked about your beginnings. We've talked about some of the cool people you've worked with and a number of different things like that. What's in the works? I mean, I know you just released Serenity. It's 3 weeks old. But what are your plans for this album? Tours, concerts. I know summer's coming up. People are going on holiday and everything like that. But what are you got going on? What's going with Serenity and anything
I'm
in the future?
I'm working on new songs as well. There's always things in the pipeline. I'm not sure exactly where it's going, but I'll know as songs come in and as I go according to the songs that I write, according to the inspiration that I have. And there's a lot of ideas there, but nothing's concrete yet that I could say, hey, this is my next project. This is, it's in the making.
Well, you just have to revel in Serenity right now. It just came out. People are downloading it. People are purchasing it. You know, that people are getting into it. So, I mean, like I said, I've become a big fan of yours. I was a fan of yours before I even knew who you were, which is really funny.
That's so nice to hear. You see, that's when you hear things like that, it means that the music is doing its work. It's a special thing. It means it's inspiring people and it's doing the right thing. So it's very special to hear. Baruch Hashem.
For sure. For sure.
And, it's good. It's good stuff. I hope that you continue getting inspiration from all this music, because there's a lot of hard work that goes into them in all these projects. So continue to enjoy.
That's the plan.
And all the listeners, of course.
That's the plan. That's the plan. I wanted to ask you one more question. I saw that you have an organization of your own where you go out and help people and you help Schmeichel. What's your organization about? What do you guys do over there? Maybe our listeners want to know a little bit more about that. Maybe if there's a way to donate, we can set something up.
Look, it's a chesed organization who go around to help people that are down, people that are sick, people that can't get out of their house, people who are in hospital, they're stuck there and they need a little fresh air and they can't go out of their room, just to bring in a whole different atmosphere to their bedside. And when the song Schmeichel came out in 2007, they figured, wow, that's the perfect name for this organization. So Schmeichel. In the course of that song, they just called Schmeichel, and it does wonders.
Well,
I think Schmeichel to the patients, you see suddenly how that you know, you just have that smile, whether it's in the mood of smiling or not, you just practice the smile.
Well, as the song goes, Schmeichel, it's a very easy thing. Schmeichel with all the happiness you bring, you know.
I'll tell you what, I find many times when I sing the song to patients, this song.
Yeah.
Patients, I don't always use the word. It's a very easy thing, because not for everyone is it easy to Schmeichel. So I'd say Schmeichel, it's a very good thing. I just changed that word because I'm sensitive to how people take over lyrics. And even though the original word is smile, it is a very easy thing. When I see someone going through hard times, I'll just say to them, so smile, because it's a beautiful thing. Smile to others' happiness you'll bring. Just because not for everyone is it easy to Schmeichel, but if they start smiling, they realize afterwards it was worth it, and that was the best thing.
That's amazing.
And it's a perfect message to all the listeners, to yourself, to myself, to continue to Schmeichel and to inspire the world. They say a smile is a little curve that straightens out a lot of things.
Wow. Wow. Shlomi, you have really inspired me and have just made my day. And it was an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. And you've really learning your story and learning more about who you are and your music and what drives you and what got you going and how you're so happy and so positive every single day and doing what you love. It just really inspired me. And I'm honored to have you on the show. And I look forward to hearing more of your awesome music. I look forward to seeing, I know our listeners look forward to seeing more of your music, more videos, more songs, more everything from Shlomi Gertner. And
thank you so much. Thank you so much. I would say if I wanted to ask listeners and like to get a feedback, I would ask, what should the next music video be? Which song in Serenity?
Well, that's a good question. So what we're going to do is, you guys heard this, Shlomi wants to know what his next music video should be. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and post that question on our Instagram and we're going to go ahead and see what you guys respond. In fact, maybe Shlomi, if you want to do a little video for us asking our listeners what they want to see in their next music video, we'll put that up on our Instagram account and we'll do a poll.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. And everybody, it was an honor and a pleasure to have Shlomi Gertner on the show. Shlomi is all the way in London. His new album, Serenity, is in stores and online right now for you to go download. You can get it on Mostly Music. You can get it in your local Judaica stores. You can even order it directly from him on his website, I believe. Serenity, go out there, check it out. And
thank you so much for inviting me to your show. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. Hatzlacha Rabba, continue to do good things.
Amen, amen.
And I'm not sure if you can get it directly on the website. I didn't test it up for that.
Okay.
So best is Niggun Music and iTunes and your local Judaica.
Okay, there you go. You heard it first from Shlomi Gertner. Go to iTunes, go to your local Judaica stores. Serenity's
in stores.
Go to
iTunes, go to Judaica, go Simcha, go Simcha, go Simcha.
There you go. Look, we just created a new song. Fantastic. Shlomi, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Have a wonderful episode of Go Simcha the Podcast.
Have a wonderful day.
For more news, updates, and information
on the next episode, bye-bye.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at Go Simcha Live. And don't forget to check out the show notes and videos on www.gosimcha.com along with zerradio.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, Go Simcha!